I'm Kyle Rice, awful test taker turned physical therapist and standardized test coach for over 5,000 physical therapists worldwide. It wasn't that long ago that I struggled with anxiety, lack of confidence, and the fear of failing the NPTE. Fast forward through the challenges, the 13 standardized test failures, and many lessons learned, and you'll see the life I have today, a life filled with love, financial freedom, and a dream job that allows me to change lives every single day. I created the NPTE Clinical Files podcast to give you simple, actionable strategies along with a step-by-step walkthrough of NPTE-based questions. All of this so that you can dominate your exam like I did and achieve your dream. So if you're a driven PT student who's looking to pass the NPTE and start creating a life you love, you're in the right place. Enjoy the show. For this week's clinical file, we have Siobhan, and Siobhan is a 17-year-old male who presents with a medical history of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. Upon examination, the patient's spine is hypomobile but denies pain to palpation and during spinal movements. Which of the following interventions is the most recommended? So we have A, postural education to reduce lumbar lordosis. B, supine abdominal crunches. C, grade 4 mobilizations at ankylose segments. And D is scapular stabilization exercises. All right, let's go up to the top of this question. I made this one a little tougher for you, baby. Let's go ahead and knock this one down piece by piece. So we have Siobhan, 17-year-old male who presents with a medical diagnosis of juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis. All right, let's go ahead and stop there. They gave us some juicy information. I'm gonna tell you one thing you need to have in your notes right now. That is, if a patient presents to you with ankylosing spondylitis, the typical onset is in that adolescent time frame. So this 17-year-old male makes sense because it's more male-dominated, this pathology. It also says here that the patient has juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. And arthritic conditions or rheumatoid arthritic conditions are also very, you know, connected with ankylosing spondylitis. So just things to keep in mind here. Now, as we continue down the question, it says, upon examination, the patient's spine is hypomobile, but denies pain to palpation and during spinal movements. All right, let me go ahead and break this piece down. So it's saying that this patient has rheumatoid arthritis and ankylosing spondylitis, that the patient's spine is hypomobile, which is very, like, it just makes sense to me because ankylosing spondylitis is where the body starts to attack the ligaments and joints of the spine. It's an autoimmune condition. And so it starts to create what we call like a bamboo spine because the spine or the joints start to fuse together, creating that hypomobility. So all of this is starting to make sense to me. And then it says, but denies pain to palpation and during spinal movement. So this means that the patient likely is not in a flare-up right now. You know how rheumatoid arthritis has those flare-ups and remissions? Well, it sounds to me that this patient isn't in a flare-up period right now, and it sounds like things are kind of calmed down. So let me move you to the last sentence, the question stem. It says, which of the following interventions is the most recommended? So for those of you on the podcast, let me check out these answer choices again. A says postural education to reduce lumbar lordosis. B is supine abdominal crunches. C is grade 4 mobilizations at ankylose segments. And D is scapular stabilization exercises. What is your answer? What do you got? Let's go down eliminating these piece by piece and dominate this freaking question. So A says postural education to reduce lumbar lordosis. Is this a intervention that I would do with this patient? First of all, I'm like, well, I really like postural education for this patient population. I would definitely do that. It's important. A patient who has ankylosing spondylitis, it's very important that we try to keep their posture as upright as possible. A lot of these patients, they'll start to form like a forward flexed posture of that thoracic spine. So they have more of that excessive kyphosis. We don't want that. So we want to try to prevent it as much as possible. So I do like the postural education, but do we want to provide education to reduce lumbar lordosis? I'm going to say no to that because if we reduce the lumbar lordosis, it's actually going to put them at risk for more thoracic kyphosis. You might need to do this if you're sitting down in a chair. You can do more of that posterior pelvic tilt, and that's reducing your lumbar lordosis, and you'll find that you're flexing more. If you're standing, same thing. Reduce your lumbar lordosis, and you're going to see that you'll start to flex a bit more of your thoracic spine. We do not want that. Therefore, I'm eliminating A. Let's take a look at B. B says supine abdominal crunches. I was checking this out in my Kishner and Colby textbook. If you're preparing for the MPTE, that's a great textbook to use for exercises for pathologies. And as I was going through the chapter and looking at ankylosing spondylitis and rheumatoid, supine and abdominal crunches is not really something you would want to do with this patient population. Why? Because again, that's more reinforcing the muscles on the front side of the body. That crunch or that flexion is pulling them even more into flexion. We don't want that. When we're thinking about ankylosing spondylitis, you need to be thinking about more of an extension bias. Strengthening muscles on the backside of the body, the stabilizers, the extensors, those are what we really need to be working here. I'm going to go ahead and put an X next to B. I don't think that that is the best intervention for this patient right now. Let's take a look at C. C says grade 4 mobilizations at ankylose segments. Some of y'all selected this answer. Hold up. Let's see if it's the right one. Grade 4 mobilizations. When I see that written out, I'm thinking of getting in there, providing some type of range of motion, improving mobilization. Like I'm really trying to stretch the capsule, you know, as I'm mobilizing that joint. My question for you, would I do it for a patient who has hypomobility? Yeah, you would. I mean, that makes sense. But hold on a minute. Would I do that for a patient who has ankylosing spondylitis and at the fused joints? That's what the ankylose segments really means, is that those joints have started to fuse here. And do I want to start mobilizing that area? The answer to that is no. First of all, you're placing the patient at greater likelihood of pain and inflammation and all that, but you're probably not going to get very far if those joints are truly fused. So I'm going to go ahead and put an X next to C because I find that to be not just contraindicated, but I also find it to be ineffective. Let's take a look at D. D says scapular stabilization exercises. Quite a few of you selected this one. You know, off the top, I really like scapular stabilization. You know, in the grand scheme of things, I think that there are better interventions that we can do, but those are muscles that are typically on the backside of the body. We know that stabilizing the scapula is really good to assist with posture, but also just keeping that trunk open for things like being able to breathe properly. So I love scapular stabilization exercises. It is an intervention I would use with this patient, and therefore, it's really the best answer that we have here. Congratulations to those of you who got D as your final answer. D, scapular stabilization exercises, is correct. If you didn't get this question correct, trust me, you are not alone. These are the types of questions where you really need to understand the pathology, the major impairments, but most of all, the interventions that are going to treat those major impairments, all right? So if you're someone who gets stuck with stuff like this and you're really trying to understand the whys behind this information, I invite you to come on over to our private free Facebook group. We have trainings every single week to help you retain information, to help you boost your MPTE score, but most of all, to walk in there knowing that you're going to dominate it. All right, how do you get there? Go to www.mptegroup.com. And for those of you who haven't gotten our free cheat sheets, we got them out there, www.mptecheatsheetswithans.com. So whether you're on Spotify, Ghana, Overbreak, iTunes, wherever you're at in podcast land, go into the show notes, click the link in there, and you can get it. Hi, this is Kyle, and thanks for downloading the podcast. I always enjoy spending this time with you, and I hope that you leave today feeling motivated and with a better understanding. Make sure to subscribe to get new mock NPTE questions each week. I deeply appreciate your support. It helps keep this mission going. And as I always say, keep learning, stay committed. I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to the MPTE Clinical Files. If you like this and want more tips and tricks to increase your MPTE score, follow us on TikTok at PT Hustle. That's at PTHUSTLE on TikTok.